Acts chapter 1 is where we will have our word for today. A couple of weeks ago, we looked at Luke chapter 2, and we looked at Luke chapter 2 from the perspective of it being God's employee handbook, that if we were working for the Lord, working for the kingdom of God, what is it that we should expect? In verse number 2 of Luke chapter 10, we found that there's always going to be more work than workers. The amount of work that needs to be done is always greater, so you should expect that there's always more work to do. Verse 3, we found out that it's a hostile work environment, that if you work for the kingdom of God, he's sending you as lambs amongst wolves. And later on in Luke, he said, not only are there wolves, but there's snakes and scorpions. So we're working in an environment full of danger. Then verse 4, he said, don't bring any money with you. Don't bring an extra bag with you. Don't bring an extra pair of shoes. And don't talk to anybody along the way. If you're working for the kingdom of God, all the things that you have provided for yourself to make sure you are taken care of when you work for the kingdom of God, you have to leave all that stuff at home because he has promised to take care of us. Then verses 5 through 11, we discover when you work for the kingdom of God, some people are going to accept your message and some people are going to reject the message. He says if they accept the message, stay there and work that ground until all of the harvest that you can get out of that ground has been harvested. But if they don't accept your message, brush the dust off your feet and keep it moving. Then he said in verse 11, don't take it personal. They haven't rejected you. They've rejected me. Some of us take this stuff too personal. If you invite somebody and they say no or they don't respond, don't get upset with yourself. They have not rejected you. They have rejected their opportunity for freedom in Christ Jesus. Don't take it personal. And then verses 16 through 19, we find out that when we call on the name of Jesus, no evil spirit can harm us. No demon in hell can stop us when we call on the name of Jesus. He says, I give you power over evil spirits that they will have to obey you. Jesus said, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. So, of course, when you call on my name, every demonic power is going to be subject to you. So you are working in a hostile environment, but you have power. You have authority to use my name. And the snake may harm somebody else, but it won't harm you. Remember the Apostle Paul got bit by a poisonous snake, and people around him were sitting there watching him, waiting for him to die, and they couldn't figure out why. I don't know who I'm talking to, but there's somebody looking at you right now because of what bit you the other day, and they thought you were going to go up in a corner, crawl up, and die. They're sitting around waiting on you to die. You need to look at them today and tell them, I'm not going to die. I am not going to die. The snake bit me, but he's given me power over the snake. I don't know who that's for this morning. Then Jesus says, verse 20, then we get to Acts, and we'll be out your way. But in verse 20 of Luke chapter 10, he says, yes, you're excited that demons are subject to you. He said, but don't rejoice because evil spirits are subject to you. Rejoice that your name is registered in heaven. Hallelujah. Don't pat yourself on the back because you cast out a devil. You didn't do that. Rejoice that when you get to heaven, heaven is expecting you. Hallelujah. There is a place prepared for you in heaven. So we live with expectation that as we work for the kingdom of God, heaven is in our view, and we are on our way there. So today in Acts chapter 1, I want to add some more items to this employee handbook. When we look at Acts chapter 1, it records the very last conversation that Jesus had with his disciples, with his apostles. So this is an important conversation that we need to pay attention to, because our work, what we are doing today, is a continuation of what the apostles started many years ago. They get their information directly from Jesus. They get their marching orders directly from Jesus. And so we need to understand what Jesus said to them for us to know what we are to be doing. And it's important because in this conversation, Jesus redirects their focus and makes it clear what he expects them to do in his absence. So let's look at Acts chapter 1, verse 6. It says, so when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom? Look, they kept asking him, Lord, has the time come for you to restore Israel? He replied in verse 7, he replied, the Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. I want to make an observation here that the apostles had a front row seat to the most significant event in human history. Nothing greater or more important has ever happened in humanity other than what the apostles saw. And yet, they still couldn't see beyond their trouble. They were blinded by their current situation, that they could not see their future glory. Listen, focusing on your personal needs will cause you to miss the greater truth that God is trying to reveal. And there are times when we need to be reminded that there is something greater happening in the earth than the situation that you are dealing with. That your personal test and trial and trouble and the thing that you are fighting is not the most important thing that's happening in the world. It may be the center of your world, but it's not the center of the world. Something else is happening. And I have to come down and talk real to you today and say to you that if the only reason we come to church is because we need God to do something for us, if the only reason you made yourself get out of bed this morning, get dressed, and come to church because you say, maybe today is the day that God will heal me or change my situation or bless my finances, if the only reason you are here is because you want God to do something for you, you will miss the truth that God is trying to reveal to you. And listen, I know it's tough. I know all of us got something we need God to do. But there's something greater happening in the earth right now that has nothing to do with your personal trouble and your personal needs being met. If we're just here because we want God to do something for us, then a sign that says it's harvest time means nothing to us, because the harvest has nothing to do with our personal needs being met. The harvest is about God's agenda and his desire that everybody would come to repentance. The harvest isn't come to heal your body, to bless your finances and your relationships. The harvest has come because God cares about souls. Jesus died on the cross because he cares about the man who doesn't have a relationship with him. And I pray that we are a church that's more concerned about those who don't have a relationship with God than concerned about, God, when am I going to get promoted? When is my child going to get healed? When are my finances going to be restored? I wish this was a church that cared more about the loss than our personal needs. Because guess what? If he fixed it today, something's going to break tomorrow. And when he fixes that, something's going to break after that. But a relationship with God can never be broken. The Bible says, what can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus? Oh, where is the burden for souls? Where is the burden where we will break our necks to get the gospel to somebody else? And now we want the God of comfort. God, here are my needs. I come here because I want you to meet my need. Guess what? God's needs, God's agenda is greater than your agenda and your need. Listen, I know it's tough. I know all of us got stuff we need God to do. Can I be honest? Y'all don't know how many times I have to wipe the tears off of my own face, wipe the snot off my own nose, and come in here and worship God. But I preach even when my heart is broken. I testify even when my heart is broken, because I know that there is something bigger happening in the world today than the thing that I'm going through. We got to learn how to mature beyond the fact that if I'm going through, then I'm not going to serve. If I had a rough week, I live in a rough space. I got a situation right now where I need a miracle. And if God doesn't do it, it cannot and will not be done. But guess what? God is bigger than the miracle that I need. I don't serve him because of his miracle working power. I serve him because he saved me one day. That's why I serve him. My heart is talking. I'm giving y'all my heart this morning. I serve him because he's bigger than my trouble. He's bigger than my pain and my disappointment. And I want somebody to know that there's a God out there that's bigger than your dilemma. And if all we care about is how many people come to church and what we look like, and are we doing good? Is our family doing good? We have missed the point. The apostles, listen to them. The apostles saw Jesus die on the cross. The apostles, they buried Jesus themselves. They went to his funeral. They buried him. He was dead for real. 3 days later, he appeared to them. And by the time we get to this text, it's 40 days after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's 40 days after them having conversations with Jesus. Here they are, face to face with the living Savior, and they could have asked him anything. And the only thing they wanted to know was, when you gonna deliver us from Rome? I just snatched your soul from the gates of hell, and you asking me about Rome? You missed the point. Jesus on the cross said, it is finished. Means I have done my work. I have completed my assignment, and you come asking me to do something else? I'm not doing anything else. I already did more for you than anybody could ever do. Help us, God. Now, before we judge them, because we're quick at judging other people, but it reminds me of us. God has given us the greatest gift we could ever receive. He has given us his Spirit. He has given us access to him. He has given us power. And some of us are still saying, yes, God, thank you for that. But when you going to heal my body? When you going to give me my increase? When am I going to be better? When is my season coming? When am I going to be the head and not the tail? God, thank you for saving my soul. But when am I going to get out of the house I'm living in? When is my new car coming? When is my bigger house coming? When am I getting the promotion? When is it coming? When are you going to do what I need you to do? Anybody feel convicted? Don't raise your hand. I know the nights laying on the floor, begging God, when you gonna do it? When you gonna do it? When are you gonna do it? I've been waiting for you to do it. I need you to do it. When are you going to do it? And he says, you want me to do more? I took your place. The only reason you have access to me right now, the only reason we can even have this conversation, the only reason you even have hope for a better day is because of what I did for you, and it's not enough. Ask me something else. Can I tell somebody this week? Ask God something else. Don't ask him about that anymore. Jesus told his disciple, it's not for you to know. There are some things that are above your pay grade. As a believer, we have to mature to the place where we realize that there are some things that it is not for us to know. Can I tell you? The purpose of the Bible is not to answer all of your questions. The purpose of the Bible is not to reveal the secrets of the universe. The purpose of the Bible is to let you know that there is a God that loved you so much that he died on the cross for your sins, and he wants to have a relationship with you, and the only way you can have a relationship with him is through Jesus. That's the point of the Bible. The Bible is not to tell you why you go through everything, why is the sky blue, and when are things going to change. That's not the purpose of the Bible. The purpose of the Bible is to let you know you were so far away from God. Hell was your portion, and there was no hope for you, but I sent Jesus to take your place, and now I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You can have life with me forever. Like us, Jesus had to redirect their focus. I realize that at times our focus needs to be redirected, because the cares of this life choke the word. The things that we see in the media distracts us from what God has called us to do and to be. And so every once in a while, God has to send a word to us that would say, move your head, look up, stop looking all down. I gotta do this exactly sometimes. Look at me when I'm talking. Huh? Can I tell you, that's why your neck hurts. Because God is saying, you are looking at the, look up. That's why you're going through so much. God is saying, listen, your focus is off. Jesus said, he redirects them. He says, listen. Verse 8, he says, it's not for you to know the times and the dates of what God is doing. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, Samaria, and in the ends of the earth. Jesus redirects them. He says, listen, you won't have the answer to all your questions, but you will have power. You won't know the dates and the times, but you will have power. Hallelujah. He said, you will receive power. Now, this power that he gives them equips them for their mission. In this word, the word power is the same power that is used to describe Jesus doing miracles. So Jesus has said, I'm going to give you the same power that I have. Hallelujah. I'm giving you the same power. Why? Because the mission, the assignment that I have given you requires supernatural assistance. He says, you worrying about the dates and time. You have an assignment to do, and you're not even equipped to do it yet. I have to give you the power to do what I'm giving you to do. Can I tell you that each of us have been given an assignment from the Lord. Every person in this room has been given an assignment that is so great that you need the power of the Holy Spirit to do it. Not just me. Everybody has been given an assignment that requires supernatural divine assistance to get it done. And listen, and if you're not working on something in the kingdom and every once in a while you don't ever feel like it's too much and you can't do it and you don't have the resources, you don't have the know-how, if you're not working on something that every once in a while you say, Lord, I need some power, Lord, I need some help, you have not found your assignment yet. How quiet again. Let me tell you why. God always assigns you to do something that's greater than your capacity. Y'all better hear this today. God never calls you to do something that you already know how to do. I'm not getting no help today. God never assigns you to do something that doesn't make you uncomfortable. Okay, let me try something else. God never assigns you to do something where you don't need him to get it done. How about that? Thank you, Paul. I got one witness in the house. He says, listen, you need power to do what I've called you to do. You don't need to be focusing on the end times and what time and what date and when God's going to do this, that, and the other. You need to focus on making sure that you have the power to do what I've called you to do. And then he gives him this assignment. He says, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. I'm almost finished here. The disciples were given one job. Be my witnesses. I'm getting ready to leave. Stop focusing about when God's going to do what he's going to do. Focus on being my witness. One assignment, one job. Be my witness. What is the witness? A witness tells what they saw, what they heard, and what they experienced. He says, here's what I want you to do. When I leave here, you have one assignment. Talk about what you saw, what you heard, and what you experienced. Can I tell you, that's our one job. Working for the kingdom of God is very simple. Our only assignment is to witness what we saw, what we heard, and what we experienced. Now, there are many different ways to do that. There are many different avenues to do that. Jesus said, do your good works before men so that men will see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. One way to testify what you have seen and what you have heard and what you have experienced is to live a life in front of people. You want to get the message that God can change your life? Live a changed life in front of people. You want to get the message out that Jesus can give you joy in the middle of a storm and peace when things are not going your way? Live a life that demonstrates the joy and the peace of God. You want to let people know that God will never leave you nor forsake you. Live a life in front of people that testifies to the fact that God is faithful. You don't need a degree to be a witness. If you go to a restaurant and it was a good experience, do you get nervous when you want to call your friend and tell your friend about the restaurant that you went to? You don't say things like, well, I don't usually testify about my experiences. No, I'm not called to testify about this good movie that I saw. No, talking about a good event that took place. No, that's for a special group of people who have a special anointing to give witness to what they saw and what they heard and what they experienced at a restaurant. The devil is a liar. You don't get nervous about telling your coworker about the movie you saw on Friday night. Why are you nervous to tell your coworker about what Jesus has done for you? Why you gotta, let me think about what I'm going to say. I know God performed something. God has changed my life. But let me get my words together. Let me figure out what am I going to say. The question is, what were you before Jesus saved you? How are you now that you have a relationship with him? What have you discovered that you didn't know before you met Jesus? Be his, your only assignment. Can I push this all the way in and then we'll be done? Your only assignment is to be a witness. That's it. Now you do it in different ways. But he says, I'm going to give you the witness is so great. You will need power to do it. Because I'm going to give you the power to be a witness when that wolf is after you. That wolf is not going to shut your mouth. I'm going to give you the power when you're dealing with the bite of a snake, and the snake thinks if I bite you, I'll shut your mouth. You'll find that the Holy Ghost will give you power with a swollen leg, and you're still talking about what you saw, what you heard, and what you experienced. He said, I'm going to give you power to be my witnesses. Verse 9. After saying this, he was taken into a cloud while they were watching, and they could no longer see him. As they strained to see him rising into heaven, two white-robed men suddenly stood among them. Men of Galilee, they said, why are you standing here staring into heaven? Jesus has been taken from you into heaven, but someday he will return from heaven in the same way you see him go. Look at that last part there. How can we don't talk about this anymore? Jesus has been taken away into heaven, but the angels told them he will return. Can I remind the church that our hope and our expectation and the urgency of our work is because Jesus will return someday? And I know we don't talk about it much. We talk about blessings and increase and favor. But the hope of every believer is that one of these days, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. The dead in Christ shall rise, and we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the air, and there shall we forever be with the Lord. Have we forgotten that promise? Right now, we serve the Lord from a distance. Some would say we have a long distance relationship with the Lord. Y'all know, anybody ever been in a long distance relationship? Oh, you don't want your spouse to know? Okay. Long distance relationships are hard. Why are they hard? Because sometimes a phone call isn't enough. Sometimes reading your love letters is not enough. Sometimes looking at your status on Facebook or receiving a text from you is not enough. Every once in a while, you need to have a face-to-face encounter. That's why the songwriter said, oh, I want to see him, look upon his face. Right now, we can call him up whenever we need him. And when we want to know how much he loves us, we can read his love letter to us. But I don't know about you. I get a little homesick every once in a while. I'm longing for the day where I don't have to read the word, but I'll be face to face with the living word. I don't know what happened to us that we stopped getting excited about the coming of the Lord. And can I tell you, that's why we don't have an urgency to work for the harvest. Because if we really believed that the Lord himself could return at any moment. I'm getting ready to get out of here. But listen, if you look at biblical prophecy, the next thing on the calendar, everything else has taken place. The next thing on the calendar is the coming of the Lord. Y'all know that, right? That's what the church is waiting on now. Everything else the Bible said would happen is happening. The only thing that hasn't happened yet is the coming of the Lord. If we really believe that, why are you okay walking past somebody, feeling the nudge to share Jesus with them, but you're too busy? The Lord could come tonight, but you've got to go home and get ready for work tomorrow, so you don't have time to talk to somebody who clearly needs a word from the Lord. Oh, God is hitting us heavy today. He wants us to be reminded. Go ahead, stand to your feet, because I don't want y'all to check out. I want y'all to come back next Sunday. So go ahead, stand to your feet. But we got to get to work for the kingdom of God. Listen. The final call for the harvest is going out. The final call for those who will be saved is going out in the land. And we have a job to do, to reach as many people as we can with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Sister Kathleen already reminded us how short life is. Because guess what? Some of us are not going by way of the rapture. Some of us are going by way of the grave. Are we ready? Maybe we're not telling people about it because we're not ready. Have you settled your doubts? Have you resolved your issues? Are you good? Are we ready for the Lord's return? I'm trying to help somebody today. We got to be ready for his return. We have to prepare our hearts for his return. We got to prepare the people that we know and love for his return. Really quickly, Jesus tells them, he says, be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then to the ends of the earth. He gives them a process. For our purposes, we can look at Jerusalem. Jerusalem is, that's the place closest to you. That's your immediate family. That's your home. God have mercy on us. If we book the trip to spread the gospel to the ends of the earth, and we got somebody living in our basement that we haven't talked to Jesus about. Talk to them about Jesus. Huh? He says, start in Jerusalem, then go to Judea. Judea's extended family and close friends. When's the last time you've had an intentional conversation with a friend who you know doesn't have a relationship with Jesus? When's the last time, here we go, you talk to Uncle Sam about Jesus or little Timmy about Jesus? Then he says, Samaria. Samaria is that random person on the street. I think I heard Brother Tony had a Samaria experience the other day. Talk to a random person. You have no relationship with them at all. And then to the ends of the world, where we're intentional about getting the gospel in places that we've never been. Would you grab somebody's hand? We're going to pray for each other, and then we're going to leave. All of us have an assignment. Next Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, we're doing the baptism here. If you are somebody you know has not been baptized and would like to be baptized, meet us here next Sunday at 9 o'clock a.m. This week will be a good week to talk to somebody about Jesus and tell them, meet us here next Sunday at 9 o'clock in the morning. Paul said in Colossians 4:3, pray for us that God will give us many opportunities to speak about his mysterious plan concerning Christ. So that's what we're going to pray. We're going to pray that this week, hear me, God will give us many opportunities to share his mysterious plan. Doors are going to be opening. People are going to come across your path today. People are going to start up conversations with you that don't even talk to you. I want you to know when that happens, that's God opening up opportunity for you to share the mystery of Jesus. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for the calling that you have placed on our lives. We thank you for the faithfulness of your truth. God, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that we will be obedient to your word, and we will cast our care upon you because you care for us so that we can focus on what you are doing in this earth. God, redirect our focus. We have become distracted by the cares of this life, by what the media is telling us is important. God, help us to look up because our redemption draws now. God, restore the fire and the burning in us where we are not satisfied knowing that there are people lost living life without having a relationship with you. God, help us to refocus and care about the things that you care about, that we not be deceived by the cares of this life, oh God, but that we find our purpose in you. And we pray like Paul prayed for every hand that's being touched this week. God, open up many opportunities. Hallelujah. Many opportunities, God. And when you open up the opportunity, give them the power to open up their mouth and tell what they saw, what they heard, and what they experienced, God. And we declare no more missed opportunities. No more missed opportunities. No more missed opportunities. No more missed opportunities. You open the door and we will open our mouth and we will say what we saw, what we heard, and what we experience, and it is so in Jesus' name. Amen. It is so. It is so. 30 seconds here. Receive your assignment. Hallelujah. Worship God. You've been endorsed by the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost is coming through this place. Hallelujah. He is endorsing you. He is validating your witness. He is giving you the authority to speak clearly and confidently about what you saw, what you heard, and what you experienced. We come against the spirit of intimidation and fear of rejection. And rebuke. We offer our life to the gospel of Jesus Christ. We agree with Paul. We are bond servants. We are slaves to the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are not free men. We are bound by the gospel. Constrain us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.